एचडी स्मार्ट कास्ट।
यू आर लिसनिंग टू एन एचडी स्मार्ट कास्ट ओरिजिनल।
ब्रांड्स शुड बी फॉलोइंग कॉन्वर्सेशंस दैट आर हैपनिंग स्पेसिफिकली ऑन ट्विटर बिकॉज दे वुड गेट टू सी एंड अंडरस्टैंड द सेंटिमेंट ऑफ पीपल इन इंडिया and that can tell you a lot more than any presentation or graph can ever tell you. So just to see those conversations, to understand the nuances, to get cues from there, because this report talks about insights, which are a reflection of consumer interests and passion points. It all starts from the consumer and the people and what they're talking about. And this kind of then can give the brands and marketeers information about what the consumers actually care about and relate to. So in a sense, then the brand can actually put out communication which talks to the consumer and tells the consumer what they actually want to hear rather than what we want to say.
Hello and welcome to the Great Indian Brand Wagon. One of the most interesting things about living in India and working with consumers and brands is the opportunity to see a uniquely indigenous behavior at a very close lens. Every few years, we notice a new India emerging from within the folds of its pasts. With liberalization and globalization in the 1980s and 90s, everything about our worldview and the ways in which we consumed changed dramatically. With the advent of technology, we went through several changes in how we interacted with each other and the world. And now, with this pandemic, there's been yet another massive overhaul that we're all noticing unfold on an almost daily basis. Cutting through the chaos and confusion of everyday life, it's important to step back and notice these evolving trends every once in a while. This is the part I find most interesting about the work I do. The ability to hold that mirror and see how we are changing as a nation, as a race, and as a generation. What is it that makes us tick? What makes our hearts race and flutter? How are the attitudes and mindsets of Indians really changing? Today, we are noticing a new culture taking shape. A culture that's been shaped to a great extent by the experiences of the past COVID-infused year, yet carry the threads of an evolution that we have been noticing over the last few years. And to throw light on these evolving trends, I have the privilege to welcome a very special guest on my show, Preeta Atre, Head of Marketing, Twitter. Twitter is undoubtedly one of the most powerful cultural artifacts of our time that records, predicts, and influences trends that shape consumer behavior today. Preeta is here to talk about their latest report that looks at consumer trends that have emerged from all the thousands and millions of tweets that happen on the platform. The Twitter Trends India report captures these cultural conversations and attitudes that are shaping our future. So for all the brand managers listening on to this show, do listen on, because this report specifically provides an opportunity to understand what's really on people's minds, what is it that matters to them, and how can we lean into these conversations to stay ahead of this curve. Hi, Preeta. Thank you so much for sparing the time to come on board the Great Indian Brand Wagon. Let's start this conversation with a little bit about your journey at Twitter and what your role as a marketing head really entails.
Thank you so much, Ritu, for having me on your podcast. It's truly a pleasure to come here and connect with you on a project that's truly dear to me. My journey in Twitter is 2 years old or young, whichever way you may want to see it. And it has been a roller coaster of a ride. Exciting, challenging, intriguing, and a constant learning experience. We at Twitter are extremely passionate about the work we do and about our purpose of serving the public conversation. Let me tell you, the last year has not been easy for any marketeer. In fact, there has never been a more challenging time. But in this challenge lies the opportunity to innovate, to learn, and to create impact. Working as a marketeer is extremely demanding, but it can be equally rewarding. At Twitter, like you said, we've seen how conversations can truly make a difference. And these conversations thread us all together as a society, as a community. And one of my key OKRs is to elevate and support these voices who drive the conversation and shape culture on Twitter. So my work prima facie is divided into two parts, global business marketing and consumer marketing. In business marketing specifically, we focus on increasing awareness that Twitter is essential for brands to launch something new or connect with what's happening. And we have been truly humbled by what the brands have been doing on Twitter and how they've stepped up over the past year, truly inspiring in many ways. In the consumer marketing front, we focus mainly on tweets. We have tweets at the center and core of everything that we do. And we say that if people aren't tweeting or talking about it, then did we truly deliver what we had to? So yes, tweets are the center of what we do in consumer marketing, the conversations, and how do we bring that to the fore? And I would say in a nutshell, what we do in marketing in Twitter is to activate and amplify the best of Twitter.
This is very, very interesting, Preeta. I mean, there is so much more to the platform than I think the people on the other side realize. And I think this, what you just mentioned right now, that somewhere Twitter is the medium that amplifies the cultural voice of the nation, right? And I think I find that part really interesting. So I want to know a little bit more about this regular trend and insight reports that you release at Twitter, because I did check out the website and I saw that globally also, there are a lot of very interesting reports that are available for marketers. So I want to know a little bit more about that and also specifically a little bit more about the India report that you have just recently released.
So Twitter, like you said, is what's happening in the world and what people are talking about right now. And it is truly the conversational layer of the internet. So we regularly look at conversations, capture insights derived from them, and release reports that brands and marketers can leverage. India is a truly diverse country, many languages, multiple cultural nuances that we have to keep in mind. So each piece of research has to be individually looked and evaluated, keeping all these factors in mind. But our focus has always been to ensure that we tell stories of the people on Twitter and understand the role that we play in their lives. So we craft multiple narratives. Like you said, you've seen so many of them on the website. We craft multiple narratives on a periodic basis, be it the Twitter Joy project that we released last year, where we looked at conversations across 25 different cities, multiple languages, and to actually come down to how does India tweet. To industry-specific insights, be it e-commerce, auto, tech B2B, BFSI, media and entertainment, to name a few, to reports that actually delve deeper into those unique connect moments that we have in India, whether it's cricket, whether it's Diwali, whether it's International Yoga Day, World Photography Day. There are so many of these connect moments where people talk about their passions. They talk about how they connect with communities and other like-minded people. So we kind of delve deeper into all these conversations and cull out and derive these insights, which can help brands and marketeers understand these conversations that matter and can make a difference. So in a nutshell, most of these reports that we look at and that we kind of bring out all talk about exploring conversations deeper, not just at the surface level, and also how can brands build relevance by leaning in and being a part of these conversations. That's what we kind of do on a regular basis.
So yeah, if you could tell us a little bit about the latest report that you've released. You know, I was really impressed with all the insights that I read on this report. And I'm very sure that our listeners want to hear a little bit more about this report. I want you to tell me what really inspired this report. I mean, I'm sure that this must be a global mandate and globally you do this on a very regular basis, but a little bit more about a background on this particular study. Also, if you could tell us a little bit about how you have gone about doing this, what's the methodology of doing something like this, right? So if you could give us a little bit more of an inside scoop on what led to this report and what are some of those interesting ways in which you found out these insights, that would be great.
So that brings us to this extremely exciting report, the Twitter Trends India research that we have just recently released. Like you said, conversation is a core human activity. It's how we share ideas, we swap thoughts, we share what's happening, we stay connected with each other, with family, with communities, with people around us. And Twitter, in a sense, is one of the world's largest forum for public human thought. Our audience is often the first to talk about many things. They are early adapters, influencers, and when we see topics or trends that pop up on Twitter, they kind of provide a window into culture and also into what could be important for the future. So Twitter Trends is a global project designed to look at the most important aspect of Twitter, which is the people. And the world, we know, has seen a shift and a change during the pandemic in the last year and a half. And we wanted to see how has this been reflected in our everyday conversations.
Right.
So this research specifically looks at changes in conversations and trends at a global level before synthesizing this for individual markets. Plus, what does this actually mean for brands, specifically in India? So we looked at millions of conversations that are happening on Twitter for the past 18 months and compared it with the previous time period. And all of these tweets, in a sense, add up to tell us a story as to how the world is changing and evolving. We did use a combination of AI and network science to map these conversations into clusters, layer a cultural context to it,
right,
analyze language and tone, and then kind of identify the trends that came through these conversations. So in a nutshell, it was not just looking at conversations as a whole, but also using a lot of data science tools to kind of derive those trends. And like you said, we analyzed the talk on Twitter, millions of tweets, to identify the six trends that came through and that are actually shaping our future. The trends that emerged were well-being, where we saw how people are embracing and empowering themselves towards a journey towards self-care. Create a culture where it is all about championing creativity and uplifting the ideas and voices that are sharing this. One planet. We truly have only one planet. And all the conversations that came around this particular trend was about a sustainable future and how do we build towards it. And to do this, not just at an individual level, but collectively as a society. Everyday Wonder, the next trend that came through, which talks about living with positivity and compassion, extremely relevant during these times. The next trend that we saw was around tech life. Tech life has been an always-on conversation on Twitter specifically. Technology is part of our lives, and it's now more than ever part of our lives, especially after the pandemic. And we have seen how conversations have shaped up and come through in tech life, where it talks about connectivity and how people are staying connected through technology, and not just for work, but also personally. And last, and one of the most interesting trends that came through was around my identity. This trend talks about how people are embracing their individuality and how they're speaking up and standing up for their values. So we did see extremely interesting trends come through. And as we look at each of these and see how the pandemic has kind of shaped the conversations that evolved, it's important to understand these trends in detail because this helps us discover what's on people's mind and can truly help brands stay ahead of the curve.
No, absolutely. In fact, when I read the report, Preeta, I actually felt like most of the trends were talking to me. I think that's the beauty of a good cultural report, because, you know, when you read it, you kind of feel like, oh, this is me, then this is my life, and this is how I'm seeing the world around me. And it was just so relevant. And I found most of the trends extremely relevant from the point of view of the average Indian consumer. So, in fact, I'd really want to dive a little deeper into each of these trends that you spoke about, because there's so much of interesting conversation around each of these trends. So if you could tell us a little bit more about the first trend, which is well-being, you know, which focuses on specifically self-care, health and fitness and mental health. Now, as a consumer research agency ourselves, you know, at Jigsaw, we've also been studying these spaces very, very closely, because we do have clients in the space of healthcare, pharmaceuticals, even for that matter, foods. And health and wellness is one of the big conversations that we're seeing evolving as the pandemic has kind of, you know, changed our lives. What I'm quite interested in this is the space of self-care that you guys have pulled out. You know, I found that really, really interesting, self-care specifically. Now, if you look at traditionally, India and its women haven't really focused on self-care and health to a great extent. When we've done research with women, and, you know, we've realized that most of the times you put your health secondary. And maybe that's not just women. Maybe that's the way Indians are. You know, we're not a preventative culture, right? And I wanted to know if this entire trend has shifted. You know, has the pandemic really brought about this shift, or did you see this happening over a period of time? If you could tell us a little more about this particular trend.
For sure. Those are really interesting points that you made. So just to give you a brief insight, well-being as a trend is something that we already saw coming through. So we've seen conversations around well-being rising, not just in the last year, but from before. But what is important to note is it's no longer a buzzword. Instead, people are actually digging deep into what does personal health and well-being actually mean to them on a day-to-day basis. So that's a shift that we're seeing. And like you said, the pandemic has brought to fore the conversations around self-care. So we did see a lot of people talking about hygiene, fitness, mental health, healthcare access, and how together as a community, we need to be looking into all of these. And we are thinking of things in a different way, perhaps forever. And that's the shift that we've seen in conversations. We've seen more honest and forward-looking dialogues. And most of these are derived from personal experiences. And it's very interesting to see how people have actually talked about self-care conversations, which grew by 88%. And these conversations were centered around investing in ourselves, in self-care tips, therapies, music therapy, loving ourselves. So it's no longer just about the society as a whole, but there's a lot of focus that has come back to the individual. And I think that's the shift that we've seen. In fact, well-being conversations itself rose by 105%. Wow. And that's a very, very huge, massive increase. That's a
really positive flip side of everything that we've gone through, right? Because, I mean, for a change, we are actually becoming a self-invested culture. And I think, you know, that's a great evolution, I would say, for Indians.
We did see a 103% increase in conversations around health and fitness. And, you know, there are some very interesting conversational cues that came through, whether it's about mindful exercises, about sharing their daily workout regimes, the importance of adequate sleep. Very interesting. People talking about adequate sleep and generally moving towards a healthier lifestyle, and also being mindful of what they're eating. So, you know, nutrition has come through as an important talking point. And it's this combination of focusing on mind and body, which is a fast-growing trend, and one that has been generated when people were going through the toughest of times. So it's something that we've seen come through specifically in the last year.
Very interesting, Preeta. I mean, this is just so fascinating. And I mean, we never really saw this optimistic side of, you know, behavior that we are now all displaying. And I think for you to capture something of this kind and put it out so beautifully, I think this is itself very motivating that, okay, we're not, I mean, this pandemic hasn't really retarded us in any way. It's actually accelerated cultural growth in a sense, right? I want to talk about the other really, really interesting trend that I saw in your report, which was the creator trend. You know, I think that was a beautiful trend. And yes, I see that all around also. You know, I think that this pandemic brought this about in a very big way. And from, you know, being self-declared home chefs to rediscovering old passions and hobbies, from making the, you know, Dalgona coffees and the banana breads to, you know, learning a guitar or starting the painting again, we've all given rise to that creator within us, which I think also is a very, very beautiful, optimistic, you know, turn that we've seen in the way we spend our time. I think this was also a very big coping mechanism of sorts, like you very rightly said that, you know, this is a way in which people cope, right? I think it's also a lot about comfort and purpose in the circumstances, you know, finding purpose in the circumstances that we're in. This podcast, in fact, was one such thing that has actually emerged out of that creator trend, so to say, right? Because it started off during the lockdown when we were all holed up at home. And in a way, it was my sense of creation and my sense of purpose, which I wanted to put out into the world. You know, I would have never done this in the normal times because life is just too busy. You know, and social media, I think, has also provided a very, very much needed validation and boost to the side of our personality. So can you tell us a little more about this whole creator trend that you noticed, you know, very fascinating trend? And I want to know a little bit more about it.
Truly fascinating, like you said. So this trend is all about rediscovering and developing our creativity, be it at home. And it has grown by 78%, but we truly feel that it has become ingrained and it is set to stay. So this is not something that we kind of see going away very quickly. For some, like you said, it started with reigniting old passions. For others, it was discovering something completely new. And whatever your passion may be, baking, photography, painting, cooking, and believe you me, there's a lot of cooking. So people did go about discovering what made them feel happy, get into a space which kind of brought about a certain amount of peace in the midst of all this chaos. And what has happened in a true sense is that with greater access to technology, resources, and you know, interacting with like-minded people and finding people with shared passions, creativity or everyday creativity, as we put it, is actually evolving into a mainstream culture. So it's no longer something that we do in our homes and not talk about it. Mm-hmm. Today, it's actually the reverse. Whatever we do, we actually want to talk about it and we want to share our experiences and connect with other people in similar situations. So there's a lot of self-taught, self-made in this space. And, you know, people are discovering creative pursuits to entertain themselves, to explore their feelings, deepen their sense of self, connect with others, and in a lot of cases, even develop new sources of income. So it's kind of interesting to see how this has evolved as something that's come from our increasingly homebound lives.
Right.
And like we said, we saw a 231% increase in conversations around aspiring content creators.
Wow.
So that people who actually want to be content creators saw huge increase. And be it graphic design, creative writing, to sharing tips on how to create content. To supporting others and creativity emerging as a form of therapy. So it's quite interesting to see the diverse range of conversations that happened around content creators. And like we said, be it food bloggers, fitness influencers, there was a lot of appreciation and support for creators. So that's something that's come through in this trend. And I would like to say that to a great extent, we feel that this culture has also emerged and this trend has also emerged because in a sense, people, when they shared these experiences and had other people commenting and responding, it kind of allowed them to find kind of escapism during the pandemic.
Right.
So took their minds off what they're going through on a daily basis. And this was one space which kind of helped them cope. And the idea that came through was not just to build or create, but to build and share with others. So it also brought through that sense of community that came through. So yeah, I think it's like you said, extremely interesting to see.
Very interesting. I mean, and to see 230% increase in conversations around this, which means that, you know, I think it's almost like a snowballing kind of an effect, right? Where you see other people, you're motivated to do more of it, and that just amplifies into something much, much larger. And I think that's, again, the beauty of social media. I mean, it allows you to do that. Tell me, how do you think brands can use this particular trend? I mean, what is it that brands should be listening in on for this particular trend?
Yeah. So first and foremost, not just this trend, I would say for every trend, brands should be following conversations that are happening, specifically on Twitter, because they would get to see and understand the sentiment of people in India, and that can tell you a lot more than any presentation or graph can ever tell you. So just to see those conversations, to understand the nuances, to get cues from there, because this report talks about insights which are a reflection of consumer interests and passion points. It all starts from the consumer and the people and what they're talking about. And this kind of then can give the brands and marketeers information about what the consumers actually care about, mm-hmm. and relate to. So in a sense, then the brand can actually put out communication which talks to the consumer and tells the consumer what they actually want to hear rather than what we want to say. So that's the change that we can see. And like we said, this work can be used whether in all aspects of the planning process, whether it's brand strategy, planning around campaigns, designing or developing creative and even media strategy. So it's important for brands to kind of be sensitive to the consumer needs in these times. And it's also crucial for them to lean into these conversations so that they can strengthen their relationships with their consumers, right, and build that loyalty for their brand. So like we say, these are all cues. And my advice personally is to use this research to be aware of what's happening and to be ready as a brand to adapt and lean into these conversations.
That's so true. So Preeta, let's talk about the next trend, okay, which is again a really fascinating trend, which I read about, which was everyday wonder. And I just love the way you guys have put it, right? Everyday wonder. I think that's such a beautiful way of putting it out, right? And I'm most fascinated with this trend also because I want to find the deeper reason why people have turned to the world around them to help them find peace, anchor, and a sense of spiritualism. I mean, I see a lot of that happening around, you know, where people have started, you know, like you said, mental well-being, and maybe this is an offshoot of the mental well-being space in itself. You know, one would have imagined that people would be tired of this kind of slow life, right? I mean, everyone assumes that, oh, once the lockdown is over, people are just going to kind of go springing back and stuff. And everyone's dying to get out. But after reading this trend of yours, I kind of feel that maybe not really so, right? I mean, that may not end up happening. That spring back and that rebound consumerism, so to say, may not really end up happening. So do you see this kind of wondrous, connected to nature and the world around us kind of lifestyle really, really here to stay? Or do you think this is one of those passing trends that you guys have observed?
Actually, everyday wonder is, like you said, is an extremely interesting trend. And we've seen it evolve. It's not a trend that's new. Interest in spirituality, interest in escapism is something that has been there, but it has kind of been more, it has been more heightened during the last year and a half. And this is one of those trends that actually beams positivity with appreciating life and truly celebrating the small things. So I think the past year has kind of brought a lot of things back into our lives and made us stop and think a little. We've started appreciating small things which we may not have even bothered about in the past. You know, even a small meal cooked by someone for the first time was shared and appreciated, which may not have happened in the past. You know, we take a lot of things for granted, which we have not in the past year and a half. In fact, fascination is fueled by a strong desire for escapism, a fundamental need during the pandemic that kind of emerged, you know. A lot of introspection and finding joy in small things, spending more time with family, has also come through, you know, whether it's just sitting and watching a movie together, just having conversations with family members, to appreciating music. So there's a lot of things that have happened which may be small, but cumulatively have had a strong impact and helped us cope with situations around us. Spirituality has emerged as one of the interesting trends, and people are in fact turning to spirituality with the hope that it can give them a deeper meaning to life and also bring about positivity. And it also, in a sense, is kind of helping guide them through some of the tough crossroads of life. So we've seen some of these things come through. And what is also something that has truly emerged is people are understanding the diverse world. And there's a lot of self-awareness that has come through about diversity. And there's a lot of conversations around embracing these differences and not ignoring them, but understanding them and encouraging these differences. So we've also seen people come through to support others. So be it supporting small businesses, be it supporting people who need support during these times of need. And we've seen even corporations step in and big businesses step in and help people during these tough times. So I would say everyday wonder as a trend kind of has helped people make sense of the world around us as we see it changing, because it has changed a lot. And though we are used to change, which happens constantly, the change in the last year and a half has been kind of tectonic. It's not been something which is normal. And everyday wonder, finding that small, the quest for meaning and comfort in what we do in our daily lives, exploring spirituality, connecting with mythology, looking at solitude, healing, positivity. All of this is kind of helping people create that safe space for themselves.
Yeah, like a haven of sorts. Right?
Yes, and helping them cope through these, like these difficult times.
Fantastic. Preeta, this is such an interesting conversation that I'm having with you. And I hope our listeners are also enjoying the various, trends that are being spoken about, and more so the nuances within each of these trends. What's beautiful about this conversation is how optimistically the entire report has been written and has been put out there. So, and there's so much hope, right? I mean, in such bleak times, to see this kind of hope and to see this positive flip side to things is beautiful. And that brings me to the next trend, which you spoke about, which is the One Planet trend. Yeah. And I also see a lot of people talk about sustainability with a lot more fervor than they did before. You know, sustainability in India was a conversation that occurred mostly in the elite privileged circles. You know, they spoke about owning electric cars and maybe doing a little bit for the planet and things like that. But NMOS, you don't see these conversations really happening. Now, our research also over the years has shown that Indians aren't initialized into this world of sustainability at all. And most of the knowledge around sustainability, it remains largely at a surface level. Today, however, I think after reading your report also and also seeing the world around me, I do definitely see this shift. A lot more localization has taken place with borders shutting up. We've been forced to look within and realize the potential and benefits of this way of life. There's a circular way of thinking occurring in the way in which we look at our planet as well. With people beginning to discover a green thumb, to becoming more conscious about the food they consume, there's really a lot going on in this space, and I want to know more about this from the perspective of this particular study that you have done.
Yes, for sure. Like you said, it's something that people are getting more aware of, also we're seeing it play out in front of us, so we can't ignore it anymore. There is only one planet, period. I mean, people are realizing that more than ever. And what's interesting is a lot of people are kind of holding themselves, you know, starting from themselves, then the community and the corporations and businesses to higher environmental standards for the sake of not just our own planet, but also our own well-being. So issues like climate change, environmental emergency are slowly taking precedence in people's agenda. So it's not like it's just all of a sudden come into the fore, but it's happening, and it's happening, and it's gathering pace. And we're seeing devastation in many ways, be it floods, be it hurricanes, cyclones, landslides. So, and all of it is concerning, because at the end of the day, we are all aware and we're recognizing the impact that we as individuals and as a community are having on this planet. So there has been an 80% increase in conversations around one planet and 130% increase in conversations around environmental protection. Very interesting. And two things that have come through very strongly is the collective effort and the individual effort. So it's no longer that saying that what can others do, but it's more about what can I do as an individual and what can we do collectively as a society. So people are encouraging others to follow best practices, plant more trees, safeguard the environment. Something very interesting that has come through is also about forming groups to kind of cleaning drives. Yep. We've seen a lot of the millennials stepping in over here and kind of leading this from the front. So that's something that's quite interesting. We're also seeing a lot of conversations where people are looking at inclusive sustainability. And it's centered around how can you reuse and lead a cleaner lifestyle. So, you know, whether it's exploring eco-friendly homes, electric cars, or even re-examining more traditional ways of living. You know, in the past, we've had traditional ways of living where we've reused a lot of stuff. We've not let things go waste after a single use. So we've seen there's a lot of focus around natural skincare, promoting sustainable lifestyles. Mm-hmm. So, supporting local businesses, upcycling of goods, buying secondhand products, inspiring people, ourselves and people around us to reduce their personal waste. And something very interesting is the growth of green gifting. Hmm. So be it plants, pottery. Yeah. So there's a sense of awareness which is coming through very strongly. We've also seen some interesting conversations around organic farming, which has seen an uptick with almost 40% increase in conversations. And we've also seen people trying to build their own greenery or small little gardens in their houses, whether it be in their balconies or in their terraces, but wherever they can. And that's something that people are kind of trying to bring through and see how they can contribute in their own way. But in a sense, people are turning to nature to find that inner joy and peace, and they're realizing and recognizing that. And there is a strong desire to cultivate and nurture and celebrate, and a sense of pride in whatever they're achieving, in whatever little bit that they can do to save this planet of ours. So
I think it all stems from this whole space of awareness, like you very rightly said, right? I mean, I think we weren't as aware earlier, and now with this awareness seeding in, it's almost like you've got to do this. I mean, it's almost like it's one of those talking points also for a lot of people, which I think is also great, because that snowballs into something much greater, and it has an amplifier effect as well. So this is in fact again another very positive spin-off of the pandemic, and I think we've had more time to look out of our windows and look at the greens and look at the skies and look at the birds that are hibernating near our homes, and I think that has given us a sense of responsibility, so to say, and the fact that during the lockdowns, when we saw a lot of things turn for the better, where the sky started clearing up and the ocean started becoming cleaner, I think that was like a real realization of sorts that, you know, this is the kind of effect that we have on the planet, and we've got to do something about it. So again, very, very interesting, Preeta. And moving to the last, but not the least trend in your report, which is technology of things. Yeah. Now, the thing about technology is that it brings about this seismic shift in the way we do things. And very naturally, we start taking it for granted, right? Like, for example, this whole aspect of coming on Zoom and doing these recordings, or for that matter, having your meetings on Zoom. Like, it just brings about this complete shift in the way we do things. And I think in the last 1 year, we've really seen that accelerate to a great extent. But the other thing about technology is also that we just so easily take it for granted in our lives, right? I mean, it just is something that becomes a natural extension of how we do things. We don't even think twice about it. Now, the pandemic brought about a far more widespread acceptance of tech in our lives. And I think this is across generations, right? From small children who are attending school online to older senior citizens who are connecting with their kids on online platforms. I want to know a little bit more from your perspective. What are the conversations around technology at this point of time? What are some of the shifts that you're observing?
Yeah, like you said, extremely interesting trend and something that we live and breathe in many ways because technology influences our lives in many spheres. So if you go back in time and look at conversations around teleconferencing 2 years back, they were actually giving us a view into the future. Right. Somewhat unrealistic. We would have never thought that, you know, we would sit at home and do our work. We don't have to commute for business. And the pandemic, with its constraints on travel, commuting, has kind of forced us to embrace a new way of working. And not just working, but also communicating with family and friends. Mm-hmm. So while it would have been in the past, we would have not thought twice about going across to our friend's house or getting on to a train or a plane and meeting our grandparents or other family members. With the pandemic, we had to rethink all of it. And the interesting part is technology is the thing that has kind of connected and brought us together. So we've seen conversations on tech communication itself increase by 111% during this research period. So yes, communication through via technology has become the center of most of our lives in many ways. And people have used tools which essentially were meant for business conferencing to enable our everyday tasks and to carry on our lives. So, mm-hmm. so in a sense, it's kind of changed. And what would have normally taken many years to adapt to, the pandemic has actually propelled this adoption. And we've seen people across the board, across age groups, across the country, whoever has had the access to technology, because not everybody has access to technology, kind of adapt to it. So be it calls where grandparents connect with their grandchildren, to online virtual fitness, cooking classes, to children, the biggest adapters who have adapted to virtual classrooms. We never would have thought of that children would not be going to school, but they would be doing virtual school. Technology, in a sense, has literally become the lifeline for people in the country.
Right.
And we've seen this. We've seen that it's kind of become indispensable for many people. And it has facilitated easier communication and interaction. So a lot of us initially, when the pandemic started, actually had to become tech support for our parents. And, you know, they all kind of struggled with Zoom and you're on mute. And, you know, it kind of took us some time to get used to it. But if we've all been able to adapt and, you know, look at tech solutions in ways that we would have never thought of. And this is a trend about millennials. This is a trend in the last year and a half about every single person who's had access to technology, older or younger. So it's no longer something that's restricted to a particular
particular segment. It's pretty universal, and it's become the pace at which it has become a part of our lives is here to stay as well. I mean, it's become a natural extension of ourselves, and definitely it is one of those things that is not a trend really, but is a reality. I mean, it's a trend that is going to seep into becoming so much more a real part of our lives.
What is going to be important for us as a country is to focus on infrastructure to keep up with the demands of the faster adopting tech hungry Indians, and be it 5G or Digital India. There are a lot of initiatives that are there that are propelling us to this extremely exciting tech-led future. So yes, technology and tech life is there to stay, and it's going to be ever evolving.
Amazing. That's great. This has been such a fantastic conversation, Preeta. I mean, I think we could probably go on for many more hours talking about such interesting things that are shaping our future, you know, about the world around us, about India specifically. I think this has been a fantastic conversation. And I really, really want to thank you for being on the show and giving our listeners such an interesting inside perspective on these beautiful trends that are emerging. So thanks a ton. An amazing, insightful conversation this has been. So much hope, optimism, and positivity to lean in on. If you've enjoyed listening to this podcast, do download the Twitter India Trend Report that is available on marketing.twitter.com. If you'd like to talk more about what we've discussed, you can reach me on Ritu@jigsawbrands.com. Over the last few weeks, we've had a bit of a slowdown in recording episodes. But we are going to be back with more interesting episodes on brands, branding, culture and media real soon. For feedback, please reach out to us on @HTSmartcast on FB, Twitter and Instagram. And to listen to more such podcasts, log on to www.htsmartcast.com or suno naye nazariye se.
This was an HT Smartcast original.
HD Smartcast.